Thank you. absolutely awesome and so good. Lord, it is our privilege to praise your name. Bring your power, Father. Release your gift. Release your presence. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we don't want to be a powerless church, a powerless body. But Lord, moving in the things of your spirit, Father. As your healing flows, Lord, as we worship and praise, and Father, the blood of your presence and the blood of your healing would flood our spirits and our souls. And Father, we give you praise. In honor and glory, and everybody said, amen. 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 Amen, Lord. He is the Lord, and he reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoken to darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Watch us to him.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Well, all right then. For so am I. You've been asking, and I'm going to grant and begin to pour out my spirit in greater proportion. But child, I'll tell you this, it does not come without risk. You're going to have to risk of stepping out. Of believing me for what I've said rather than what you see. Whether you understand or you do not. Some of you now are right on that fence line. And I tell you, you've got to make a choice. And you've got to make a decision. Will you move on with me? Will you forsake all the other stuff and move on with me? And would you seek my face rather than my blessing? I tell you this today, as you began to seek my face and see me with new eyes, so it is that I also pour out my blessing upon you when you seek me and not that that I give. I tell you today, I even want to start with your finances that I want to draw you and bring you out of debt. I want to deliver you, saith your Father. But I tell you this, obey me in all things that I give unto you. Have I not said that you would be slave to the lender if you borrow? I will alleviate that in your life. I'm not worried about your mistakes of the past. I'm not concerned about what you may have done or done wrong. And I'm not concerned even about what lies in your future in that regard. But I want to tell you this. I want you to be delivered. I want you to be free to enjoy my resources. But I want you to be a funnel so that you could take them in and disperse them out. So I tell you today, I'm ready to pour out my spirit. I want to bring you even greater into the giftings of my Holy Spirit. But it's going to require that you take the risk of looking even like a fool. Are you ready for that? Will you obey me and step out even those things that I draw you into so that you will know that I am the Lord and I am your Father and you can trust me in all things? Child, remember this. It is not my desire to make you look silly. All I ask is you take the risk. that you move out into those things that I bring, for I am ready to pour out my spirit even upon this small body in greater proportion, but so it is in other bodies as well. You are no more special than they are, but you are favored sons and daughters, as it is in the other bodies of believers that uphold my name. But I tell you, if you live in a world that's in a lot of chaos, but don't you know that I'm in control? Don't you know that nothing has caught me off guard? Don't you know that all the trials and things you've stepped into, that I, your Father, have already gone before you to smooth out the way? Then why do you fret and worry and whine and cry when I, your Father, will deliver you no matter what you see? Will you be willing to obey me in all things, no matter what you see? In all things? Not some things, but all things? Child, if you do, you will see my glory like you've never seen before. I will pour my spirit out on you, and I will open your eyes, and you will see heavenly visions and things that you've not even dreamed of. I tell you, as you look around with your natural eyes, you haven't even begun to behold the power of my spirit and the beauty of my creation. So I ask you again, are you ready? Are you ready? Well, all righty then. I will pour out my spirit upon you. And I tell you, I want you to open your arms wide to receive my joy, my mercy, my grace, my love, my financial blessing. All that I give to you because you are my cherished ones. It's all yours. Even as I've already spoken earlier this morning. Child, come. Be delivered and be set free. Totally. In the name of my Son, Jesus, the Deliverer. Wow. God, you are so cool. You are so cool. Isn't he awesome, folks? But I'll tell you something. Kay has a word this morning to deliver, and she told me a while back, and I asked her a few weeks ago when she wanted to share it. She wants to share it today, so she's going to come. If you'll go ahead and get ready, Kay, and put the mic on. And I want to share just a quick thought to you as she gets ready. I want to thank all of you for just being the body of Christ, and I want to thank you for the privilege that was ours to go and preach homecoming last week at one of our former churches, only the second time we've been there, and it was a full house. It was so cool to see, and we went back in 99 after 16 years for closure. And after we had a membership of about 500, that we've had over 400 members in 4 years, we knew 16 people that Sunday. And it was a healing time for us, and it was good. But this time was totally different. We enjoyed it so much. There was a full crowd. There were a lot of people who came back just to share with us. And it was a packed house, a couple hundred people. And we just were blessed and blown away. And thank you for allowing us that privilege. And I know things were good here. I heard words that Jerry had given a tremendous message on the tongue, and I heard praise and worship was good with Jeff. And so we're just a blessed body, and I'm grateful that when we walk away and go somewhere else for a while, be it Trace Diaz or be it preaching like that, you never miss a beat here. But I do want to tell you this. You have no idea how much we missed our worship praise last Sunday morning. My word. Folks, I want you know what? It ain't got anything to do with me, or it doesn't have anything to do with Tricia or Sean or Rick or Hugh or Jerry or Jeannie or even you guys. It's just the presence of God and the power of His Spirit and the beauty of those things that we enjoy as we worship Him. But I will tell you something. You go somewhere else for a while, I think you'll appreciate what God's doing. I'm telling you, we were like, oh, Lord. And I had a tremendous anointing to share, but when it came to the worship and praise, it's like we were thirsty and starving to death. And it was so cool to be back here with you guys this morning. And I'll tell you what, I absolutely love this place and you guys and where we are. Thank you for being the body of Christ. We love you so much. We just, Ken and I just marvel every day how much fun we're having here. And you know, our prayer is that it'll last a long time. Amen? Hey, would you come? Edith Schwartz said, tell you guys hello.
Hello. She actually showed up for the homecoming as well.
You're on. All right. This is a different day. This is the first time that I've stood before you, and I know that God has put things in me, but I have no idea where he's going to go. The only thing he said to me is, I want to speak to my people. And I want to pray a prayer. This is not the scripture, but I want to pray a prayer that Paul prayed over the church all the time. And it's found in, just listen to it, but it's found in Ephesians 1, 17. It says, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the inside into the mysteries and the secrets in the deep and the intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's ever been named. He put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universe and the supreme head of the church, headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything everywhere with himself. Amen. Everything we receive from God comes through the eyes of our heart. We receive nothing from God through the eyes of our head. The hope of our calling, everything that he has for us, comes through the eyes of our heart, enlightened by him. The greatest weapon that Satan has is fear. It comes in all kind of pretty packages, wrapped up all kind of ways, but the bottom line of his tactic is fear. Fear will stop you. Stop us. If I point my finger at you, I got four coming back. It will stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And if it doesn't stop you, it will slow you down. And that's what he's interested in. If he can't kill us, he can't take us to hell, the next best thing is try to destroy the things that God has put in us to do for him. I read somewhere that 365 times in the Bible, God says, do not fear.
One for each day.
That's right. You got it. And why would he do that? Because it is the tactic of the enemy. And I tell you, I've lived in this world for a while, and I have never seen the bombardment of things in the negative that bring fear. And if we look through the eyes of our head, we will fear. We will fear. And God says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Surely I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold all that, what is it? Help me. Well, all those, anybody know it? That war with you. Who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those that contend with you shall be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those that quarrel with you, but you won't find them. And those that war with you shall be as nothing and non-existence. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, and I will help you. God has delivered me from a fear just this past 2 or 3 weeks, and the war this week has been horrendous. Because I realized something, that if you, in an area of your life, don't believe that God can protect you, it's sin. It's doubt and unbelief. You can protect me here, here, and here, but I'm not so sure about here, so I'm going to take my flesh arm and do my own protection on this, Lord. We're not going to stay on fear very long, but I just want you to understand some stuff. So the Lord just showed me, and I said, Lord, I had never seen that before. And I repented. Remember, sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus, by the washing of the word. Demons are cast out. And flesh is crucified. So many times we don't get it right. We see the areas in our life and we want somebody to cast this thing out of me. And God says, see it for what it is. Sin of doubt and unbelief. Take it to the cross. Ask for forgiveness. Be cleansed by the word of God and the blood of Jesus. And then say, devil, you have nothing in me. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He has no choice. He's got to flee. Not because of anything that I did, because of what he did. I would have, in the few times that God has just said go, and I'm going to speak, fear and trembling. I am joyful today because I know my God is able. And I want to speak to the men in this church, the women too, but especially the men. One of the reasons that God could bring me to the place that I could face my fear was because I have never received anything but kindness and gentleness from the men in this body. And you just don't know how much that has brought a healing in my life. You just don't know. Because a lot of people feel intimidated. They don't like a free spirit. And I'm a free spirit. I was born a free spirit. But God has kind of tamed the free spirit. And He's going to continue to tame it. But I want to tell you, I have seen the fire of God coming. I'm not telling you because I read it somewhere. I'm telling you because I've seen the fire of God coming. I've seen it in the distance. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, dear Lord, let me take authority over this. What's going on? And He said, no, it's my fire. The fire will not light on fear. But God didn't leave us in fear. He takes us to the other side every time. I want you to turn to Hebrews. We're going to be reading some different verses. One verse will be in Hebrews 1, verse 3. And then Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. We will start in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 to begin with. Hebrews 1, 3 first. We won't read it first, but then Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor, born of the faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds during the different ages were framed, fashioned, and put in order and equipped for their intended purposes by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Now turn over to Hebrews 1, 3. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, then I'm going to read it in the King James, because I've got something to show you. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Who is that? Jesus Christ. The light being, the outraying of radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by His mighty word of power. Not power of His word, but mighty word of His power. When he had by offering Himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, He sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. How many of us try to stir up the faith within us. When you leave here today, I hope you see faith from a totally different perspective. I'm going to read Hebrews 1:3 from the King James. He being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. What is God saying to us? He's saying that his word, the power that he has is in his word. Okay? When he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The word in Hebrews 11:1, it says the faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So faith is things hoped for, right? Is that what it says? Things hoped for. I want to tell you the exact word there where it says that he was formed in the exact person of God, that's the same word that they use for assurance. So let me tell you what God is saying to us. He's saying faith is the person in which we hope all things for. Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the exact image of God. So I don't have to build up my faith. I don't have to work it up or say, oh, God, please, if I say the word 250 times, I'll know it better. No. No, no, no. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the substance of things we hope for. That takes me out of the picture. I just hope and pray and believe. Another word I think for faith is trust. Because you'll see sometimes that that word is in there. So we've got to trust the assurance, the title deed, the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to trust Him that whatever circumstances and situations we are in, He's already made the way. When God created the earth, that this was in verse 3, when God created the world, the universes, and all the things that we see, He didn't sit there and say, okay. When I speak it, now, and bring it to pass, He spoke it because He knew it would come to pass. And He didn't have to worry about it. He didn't have to think about it, because God is so creative that He created everything. And man thinks He's so smart. Oh, He calls us sheep. And I need a shepherd, don't you? And I've got the one that created the universe by speaking. But what He wants us to see as never before is that when God sent Gabriel to a little girl and said, will you give birth to the Son of God? And she said something that was just really, if you think about it, She says, be it unto me according to your word. The word was spoken in Genesis 3:15, when God says, I'll not leave you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to get just as close to you as I can. But there is one coming. Just wait. Be faithful. Do the things that I give you to do in the meantime. But he's coming. Did you know that when Jesus spoke, he never spoke anything new? He only spoke what was in the Old Testament. He was speaking what had already been said. Before the beginning of time, he knew that this little church would be sitting here. He knew that there would be a hunger and a thirst to see how to get to the other side from your fear into the real world, which is faith. And the way we do it is we catch the boat of Jesus Christ. Peter walked on the water, didn't he? So many times we think, oh, but he saw the things around about him, he fell. No, Peter walked on the water. He got out of the boat. And he says, I've seen the word. You are the Son of God, and whatever you can do, I can do, because that's what you've come to show me that I can do. Jesus was a paradigm. Jesus was the example of who he said he had called us to be. I thought Richard was going to preach the sermon this morning. God said, are you ready? Are you ready for a brand new day? I see the fire. I see the fire. And it's coming on a group of people that are not perfect, but they believe the word. Folks, this is not a book that comes off of a printing press that's just nice to read a few verses to say I've read the Bible. This is a supernatural book. And that's the reason people want to put it down. But it's supernatural. It is the voice of God speaking to us. And when he says it, and we read it, we don't speak it to bring it to be. We speak it because it already is. It is. He died on that cross. I have just been thanking him this week because the battle I've been going through. You know, when you lay everything down, the enemy comes and just wants to just really torment. But it was like, okay, this is life. This is real. And I can take what God said to me in his word, and I can speak it into the face of Satan himself, and he has to abide by it. Not because of who I am, but because of who I belong to. He wants to stop us. He wants to water us down so that if we don't fulfill the call of God on our lives. People, you can say anything you want to, but people are looking for the real thing. So many times you hear people, they've gone into this occult because people are hungry for the supernatural. And the church is just sitting there reading the word overall. And we're missing the power of His word. And the way we get the power of the word is that we speak it, and we speak it because it is truth. We don't speak it to make it truth. We seek it because it is truth. You don't take the word and put it on your situation and try to make it cover your situation. No. You take your situation, you bring it to the word, and you say, Lighter! In Jesus' name. You find the scripture that meets your need. And you stand on it. Let all hell shake loose. Who cares? This is what He's fearful of. He's fearful of a body of Christ our size, knowing that when we speak His word, we know it, that it is a living word, and it brings life. And in the same way, we've got to stop speaking death.
Amen.
We are people of life. We are people of life. And when He trusts us to give His word, to say His word, He has to trust us to know that we will do no harm. This is more powerful than any gun you can ever have. Mm-hmm. I've proved it. I know. I mean, tell you things that just blow your mind away. But God's word is so real. And I tell you, and we all need to say this, God is more real to me than you are. He is more real to me than you are. And He loves me and you more than we'll ever know. If you've ever been into warfare and you've ever had Him just take you in to the places where hell itself is trying to rule and reign, and you fight the warfare, and you go in knowing He sent you in, and you go in knowing you're coming out, you won't even smell like smoke, because He has won. It is finished. He didn't leave anything out. Not one thing. Not one thing did He leave out. But the enemy, I tell you, whatever is going on in your life, take it back. Ask the Lord. I'm going to tell you. If you ask the Lord, He'll tell you. He's good. He will tell you. But I tell you another thing. He won't tell you until you're ready to hear it. So don't be somebody else's Holy Spirit. Oh, man, you hear me? Because there are people that are walking in places you and I, we don't know where they're walking unless God opens our eyes and lets us see through the eyes of our heart what's going on. So we carry this as the lifeline. And when you're ready, and if you don't get ready, He'll put a hook in your jaw and get you ready. That's a promise He made to me one time about my daughter. It was a prophet that came through. He didn't know me from Adam's house cat. But he walked at me. He says, "You've given me your daughter." And he said, "She'll never stray from me because you've given her to me." He says, if he wanders off, I'll put a hook in her jaw. She'll always come back because you've given her to me. When Leah was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, it hit me like upside the head. But God gave me a vision in the eyes of my heart. He reminded me of things that he had said to me. And what did I do? I took the Rhema word to him. And I said, God, you said. And I have done what I said I would do. And you told me that you were her daddy. She's documented twice, because one time she got off and they didn't do some things right. But it's documented twice, both times. It is a miracle of God. Because God told me and showed me where the cancer was. I didn't receive that through the eyes of my head. Oh, man. She'd be dead if I did. And I remember when we went, and she had been diagnosed and was before anything had really been done. She had a little one that was he almost one?
The first time he was 6 months.
Yeah, 6 months. One about 5, 6, one, two, three, I mean, little bitty fellas. And I would watch her. And she would look at those children like, how much longer am I going to be able to look at you? And I would walk up to her and I'd say, God said that you are going to be fine. You shall live and not die. Body, line up with it. I don't care what Satan tries to put on you. Do it, because you've got an order from God, not from me. I'm just building your faith up, because God built mine up when Leah was little old bitty thing. We had a hamster. His name was Snowball. And Snowball got loose one day. We couldn't find Snowball anywhere. Been gone 2 or 3 days. Lee and I prayed. And I said, he's going to come back. So she went that Friday night to spend the night with my mom. And she had all of my sister's children. And they had had a hamster too. And theirs had gotten loose and theirs had died. So Leah calls me crying. And she says, Mama, says the hamster Snowball's going to die. I said, Leah, we have prayed, haven't we? I said, Snowball is not going to die. This was not me saying this. We have prayed and we believe Snowball is coming back. Hung up the phone. I went to the place where I usually sat down and prayed and just spent time with him, and I went, oh, please, God. Oh, please, God. I have just walked out on this limb, and I want, please, God. While I was down there praying, I heard this little bitty noise. This hamster, I don't know where he came from. He walked right up to me. He was like, if I was on my knee, he was like right there. And he stood there. He stood there. And I just reached down and picked him up and put him back in his cage. And I called Leah and I said, Leah, you tell them. Snowball is alive. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of things. God just, He was my husband. He was my source for all things. I know that I needed him. He has never let me down. But he's been so faithful, even through the things of my fears and things, he's always brought me through. But you know, it's just so comfortable. There is another fear, and it's the fear of God, you know? And this is, one night I was just talking with him. He just would come, and he didn't show up, but I mean, he was just there, you know what I mean? And we would just talk. And I've always had such a comfortable feeling with God. I've never thought about fearing him. I really haven't. I just knew that he was there for me. And even when I was going, he always came through. But I asked him, I said, God, I don't understand this. I said, it says that I should fear you. I said, I don't fear you. What are you talking about? And he spoke to me ever so clearly. And he says, what if I come and stand in front of you right now? And I said, oh! I understand. The mighty awesomeness of him is that when you're in him, you're covered, you're protected, and it's a comfort. The fear of God is a comfort. The fear of the world and Satan is a torment. But the awesomeness of God, when he says, I'm coming down, it makes you understand what he's talking about. That's God. That's God. In Acts, the second chapter, this is about the fire of God. In Acts, the second chapter, remember when Jesus got through and he was fixing to go back and he told all of his disciples and the women, everybody. He says, go to an upper room. It's really just a staircase somewhere. He said, go. And he said, wait. He said, wait. Go and wait. And the reason these people went and waited is because they had touched the Son of God. They had touched God. They have heard that everything that he said came to pass. Whatever he said, it happened. They knew that he was God in the flesh. So we go back to that place where things changed when that little girl, she was a little girl in our eyes. She may have been your age. She may have been. And said, will you bring my son into the earth? She had to be one that was pure before the Lord. And when God birthed that baby on the earth, and when he grew up, and the Holy Spirit came on him, and he was anointed for his ministry, everything changed. God no longer spoke changes on the earth by the word in heaven. He spoke changes on the earth by the word that was walking. The Word was made flesh. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And nothing came into existence except by the Word of God. And then, a little bit later in that same chapter in John, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So they're waiting on this word that they felt, they heard. They said, you speak like nobody else. Because it was God. He was God. And so when they said, wait, he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that will teach you all things. Did they doubt? Did they doubt? No, because everything he spoke was. And they waited, and they waited, and they said they were in one accord. Now, you've got a bunch of people there. You've got a bunch of people here. Do we think alike? Do we have the same callings? But right now, we're one accord because we are looking and seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're here. And they were focused on whatever this gift was that he was sending. And they knew it was going to happen. And were they even perfected? No. And how do I know that? Because here comes Peter. Let's have a vote and decide on who's going to take Judas's place. And they voted on this man that was never heard of again. But 9 chapters later, so to speak, God chose number 12. And it was Paul. So we're not talking about perfected people. We're talking about people that want him with all their heart. And then it said, they heard a mighty rushing wind. Ooh. Do you understand why it was a mighty rushing wind? God had waited for a very long time to be able to live with his people again. And when Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, gave his blood, and it had everything, and that we had been bought with a price, God says, let her go. And the Spirit of God is from God himself. And that Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind. Now, it didn't stop in Macon. It didn't stop in Perry. It didn't stop in Atlanta. Where did it stop? Where was it headed? It was headed to those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a mighty rushing wind. And it went straight to them. When you know that the word is real, and you say the word because it is, you polarize yourself and you draw the things of God and you repel the things of Satan. They were polarized. And when the wind gathered the crowd, you know that, don't you? They heard it. They gathered the crowd. But it didn't stop on them. Can't stop on you. Neither can the fire that hit them. Can't stop you unless you know in the eyes of your heart that Jesus is your Lord. I've seen the fire coming. It scared me because I thought, oh man, what is this? I've seen it. I've seen it in the distance. God's word, no matter what. I like the Amplified. I also like the New American Standard. Sometimes I like the King James, especially if I'm studying, because everything you look up, you have to go back to that one because it's got all the little, everything's geared to that one. But whatever is in your life, find the word of God. The promises of God are yes and amen. Yep. In Christ Jesus. Find what you need. And it may just be one scripture, maybe two scriptures. Stand on it. And watch him perform it. You're not saying it to make it true. You're saying it because it already is true. He made it truth when he says it's finished. And listen to this scripture. I have been crucified in Christ. I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Amen. And I stand in faith on that, because as God tells me and shows me what I need to give to him, if I do my part and let him cleanse me, change me, I am crucified in Christ. Will there be another layer he's going to pull off? Yes. But I can say that because he said it. When these people wrote down the word of God, they knew when they wrote it down, it just wasn't something that's going to sound good in a book. They knew that it was the power of God. You understand that? He formed and he holds the world together by the word of his power. He put his power in his word. And then another place in the Bible it says, he magnified his word even above his name. Where is his word now? We know it's in the book. Bo, let me read this to you. Let me find it. Y'all watch, wait a minute. This is neat. It's Hebrews 10:16. And it says, this is the agreement, the testament, the covenant that I set up and conclude with them after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their minds and on the innermost thoughts and understandings. He's writing his word on the tablets of our hearts. And we have the responsibility. You know, he says to enlighten the eyes of our hearts so that we know what the hope of his calling is. He's called us to speak forth his word into this world, because he doesn't do it anymore. We do it. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father and he sent the Spirit to us, he put the earth back in our hands like it was in Adam's to begin with. The word is in us. And we must speak it forth, not only for our lives, but of life of this nation. I've said this many times, and I said, we are a nation under God. And you know why I know we're a nation under God? Because I am a child of God under God, and I'm under the United States of America. And as long as we hear, and we declare it, and we say it is, we were formed as a nation under God, and we shall remain a nation under God. Because we are going to declare it. We are going to speak the things out there that need to be spoken. You can do it in your prayer closet. You don't have to get on the street and look like an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Speak it. Know it. And if God gives you a rhema word, you stand on it, and you stand on it, and you stand on it, and you never let go of it. Because when he speaks a rhema word to you, it comes with power. And you know that. When God tells you and gives you a direction and everybody says, no, you say, No. When God's word comes, it comes with power. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not speaking that to make it true. I'm speaking that because it is true. If I fellowship with the Lord and I read His Word, I don't mean we have to just, you know, go back through it. And I have. I've gone through the Bible and I've read it cover to cover. But it's like when He speaks and He gives you something, you know that, hey, what are you saying? What are you saying? And you begin to look in His Word. Then it comes alive. And that's what He's saying to us as a body. He is our cheerleader. He is standing at the right hand of God, praying for us and cheering us on because He says it's finished. He is just looking for a group of people like you and me that says, I'm yours and I will. And the fears and the doubts and whatever is in my life, I bring it to the cross. And I give it to you, and I pick up your life. I walk in your life. I walk in your abilities. You are the living God, and there is none other. The devil came to lie, steal, and kill. But Jesus says, I came to give you life and give it to you abundantly. He is for us. He is for us. So many times it's taught that God is, you know, you got to do this or God's going to get you. No, we get ourselves. God is for us. And so many times He's warning us to lay down something or to see something so that He can come like a mighty rushing wind and give us something that He's been wanting to give us for a long time. He loves us. Oh man, He loves us. I was just thanking Him. I just said, thank you, Lord. Because just the battles that I've seen is like, oh dear Lord, the misery of the people in this world that are fighting their own battles. We have our own warfare. We have our battles. But we've already overcome it in Him. How do I know? Because His Word says so. And I stand on His Word. And I close with this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. And I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the fire, you'll not be burned. Nor will the flame even kindle upon you. You won't even smell like you've been in a fire. Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Fear not. Alice, read that scripture the Lord gave you, and I thought, oh, when she read it about the little flock. You see, Alice's notebook, while she's finding it, I'm going to share it with you. As the Lord was just sharing me these things, Alice was saying, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. And I kept telling him a little bit more as He was giving it to me. I'm going to try it. She wasn't telling me all this. She said, I'm going to try this. And so she calls me from work. She said, it works. It works. It works. And when our situations may not change overnight, but we know that we're walking. We're in God's economy. We're in God's world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're bringing things of heaven into earth. That's what we're doing.
This is Luke 12.
Stand up here so they can really hear you. This is, I just felt like this was for our body.
This is Luke 12, 31, 32. Only aim at, strive for, seek his kingdom, and all these things shall be supplied to you also. Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yes.
Little flock. Amen. I love you. Y'all are special.
We love you too. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I had so many things floating in my mind and heart while she was sharing. And one thing that hit